Good evening and welcome along to The Score, our weekly sports show here on Highland, where we review and preview all the big stories in the world of sport here in the Northwest. I'll be your host, Mark Gallagher, and I will be with you from now right through until 8 o'clock this evening on what is an action-packed show as always. Coming up, we'll look ahead to the Donegal Forestry Rally with Brian Brogan. We'll hear from Dylan Brown McMonigal and his father John on the Young Jockeys' achievements last weekend, as well as going over to our horse racing correspondent Dave Keena. But firstly, we will start with Gaelic Games, and it is a big week for Naoimh Connell and Naoimh Columba as both clubs get their Ulster Club Championship campaigns underway. Naoimh Connell will play Scotstown of Monaghan at the quarter-final stage of this year's Ulster Senior Club Football Championship in Clonus on Sunday. The 2025 Donegal Senior Football Championship winners are no strangers to the province's premier club competition, having reached the final in 2010 and then again in 2019. As of yet, it's a title which still evades the 8-time Donegal Championship winners. In fact, the county has only ever produced two senior provincial club champions, the first of which came when St Joseph's, a previous amalgamation of the Irua Ballyshannon and Raltnamara Bundoran clubs. They won it in 1975. Gidore then broke the mould 43 years later when they defeated Scotstown in the 2018 decider in Omagh. Naoimh Connell will be looking to add the Ulster string to their bow, and it all starts with a clash against Scotstown on Sunday afternoon. I spoke to their manager Martin Regan to look ahead to the game and started by asking him if the team are looking forward to getting their Ulster journey underway.
Yeah, definitely. Look, we've had a nice wait now from the county final. It's nearly 4 weeks, obviously, since the final was played. So now the boys are eager to get going now, and we're looking forward to the weekend for sure.
That's it. You're up against the Monaghan champion Scotstown on Sunday, a household name on the club scene in the province here. The Ulster Club Championship, it's a great way to pit yourselves against the best of the best, and I'm sure you're excited about the challenge ahead.
Yeah, it's a class competition. There is something unique about the Ulster Club competition, and you know, heading into these grounds with your own crew behind you, it's lovely. So it is, and it's looking to work under no illusions. It's going to be a huge task now against Scotland. Their season's out for it, as you say, and they've been around Ulster now for the last 15 years, on a regular occurrence. So it's a huge task, but no, it's something that is one we're looking forward to now, definitely, and can't wait to get going on Sunday.
In terms of Scotstown, you know, you'll obviously have your own way of getting information on them and that kind of stuff. What are the main threats in terms of personnel that they'll possess at the weekend?
They're very strong throughout. Like, you've the obvious one, Rory Began, obviously in goals, and the 2-point threat that he possesses, both from play and freeze. But you know, defensively, they're really, really solid. They're the two U's in their defence, and you know, they bring huge experience. And Damien McArdle, they're very, very experienced, and they've been around the block. And then they've added the likes of Michael Connolly and Max Maguire and Tommy Mallon, boys like that. They're just out of minor. They've really added a lot to that setup. And you know, around midfield, then with McArdle and McPhillips, they're two huge men at midfield, and James Hamill dropping in there too. You know, they tick all the boxes. You know, you've Jack McCarron then up front as well, and Shane Carey, loads of experience with Monaghan and others. So you know, you look at all that there and the teams they've had out all year, and then you're throwing in Ryan O'Toole and Conor McCarthy along with that there as well, two of the top players in Ulster, going back from injury. So, look, it's a huge, huge task. But like I say, it's one we've prepared really well for the last few weeks, and that's one that we're looking forward to putting ourselves around Ulster, because that's what they are. They're one of the best teams in Ulster, and you know, they're one of the favourites to win Ulster, and rightly so, with their pedigree and what they possess. But no, we're looking forward to the challenge, but definitely.
Just want to take you back to your run to win the county title. It's been well documented, you've come through some really tough battles. I'm sure that'll stand to you now as you head into the Ulster campaign, that a really battle-hardened county campaign.
Yeah, I think it will, definitely, for sure. You know, it's nothing beats tight games as long as you come out the right side of them. They do stand you in good stead, and we've had that, not just this year, but the last number of years in the league all. It's always a tough championship to come out of, and you know, we enjoy being in them situations with 10 to 15 minutes going, the game's tight. We always feel that we have that willpower to get over the line. And look, it's proved that way this year in Donegal. So hopefully it will stand us now going into Ulster as well, because it'll be all tight games now from here on in as well.
That win over Gidore gave you your 8th county senior title since winning your first just 20 years ago. The club have been on such an upward curve. You must be very proud to have played a big part in it.
Yes. You know, the the run we're on, you pinch yourselves at times. You know, you wouldn't have thought it back in 2005 that you'd win eight championships in such a short period of time. But no, the boys have played themselves really, really well over that period of time, and it's a lovely time to be involved in the opponents. It is, because the whole game, and you know, even at underage there, we're competing at the top level underage as well, maybe not winning championships, but we're never far away. Even you look at the last two minor championships we ran unions, or for masters to point, I think, this last 2 years at minor level. So there's plenty of stuff coming through as well, and it is an exciting time for the club, and it is lovely to be part of it for sure.
Yeah. You mentioned earlier that the Ulster Senior Club Championship is a great competition, and it obviously is. Donegal clubs, kind of surprisingly, have only ever won the Ulster Senior Club Championship twice. Gudore were the last to manage it in 2019. Given the success Donegal have on the intercounty scene, especially in the last 10 or 15 years, why do you think there hasn't been maybe more big successes for Ulster in Ulster for our clubs?
I don't know. It's hard to put your finger on it. I suppose one of the big things is the Donegal Championship is really, really tough. It's very hard to come out of the Donegal Championship, and you know, you're looking at teams that have been successful in Ulster, like the Cross McLean, Clacoo, teams like that there. They're knocking about Ulster pretty much every year. You know, the Donegal clubs, you gain a lot of experience from playing in Ulster. So Kilcoo and Scotstoun, them boys, they're well experienced in playing in Ulster, whereas teams come out of Donegal, you might be back there for another 3 or 4 years, and it's difficult, so it is. But it's, you know, Gidor done brilliantly to win that Ulster final when they did. To two Ulster finals, Glenswilly have got to the Ulster final. You know, teams have got there as well, but just come up short on the final hurdle.
Just want a word on Finbar Rorty ahead of the All-Stars tomorrow night. Obviously a massive player for both yourselves and Donegal this year, Martin. What a talent he is.
Unbelievable. You know, the year he's had, what he's achieved, you know, man of the match in the Ireland semi-final, man of the match in the county final, the Seamus McGeegee Award, obviously, for the club. You'd expect him to get Young Player of the Year and hopefully an All-Star as well on top of that there as well tomorrow night. And he's a remarkable year, so he has, and the sky's the limit for Finbar. He's a great lad, great athlete, and you know, again, he ticks all the boxes. He's going to be a superstar for Donegal, and he's going forward
for sure. Just finally, Martin, squad wise this weekend, any niggles or injuries to worry about ahead of Sunday?
No, we're hoping to be at full strength now for Sunday. We're missing, obviously, Jack McKelvey didn't play, but injured, and Owen McGilligan is only fit to come on, but them two boys are back in training now this last couple of weeks, so we're hoping to have them back in as well. With a couple other small minor knocks picked up this last week, but no, we're hoping to have everyone. We're training tonight and hoping to get everyone through that tonight and to be at full strength for Sunday.
That is the voice of Niamh Connell manager Martin Regan. We will be bringing you full live match commentary from that game in Clonus on Sunday afternoon. Pádraig Kilfordy and Brendan Devaney will be there from the throw-in at 1:30. Well, Niamh Columba will start their Ulster Intermediate Club Championship with a trip to Inishkeen to face Carrick Macross of Monaghan this Saturday, having claimed their first Donegal Intermediate Championship title by defeating Mallon at the beginning of October. Niamh Columba are heading into new waters in Ulster. Brendan Doherty is the Niamh Columba manager, and although optimistic about his team's chances, he says it's very much a venture into the unknown.
Look at here, the boys have had their bit of celebration time, their week and whatnot, but you know, you have to understand then too that we've a bigger fish to fry later on coming down the track. So we were back training probably at the end of that week, and we've been all going all hell for leather since, Mark, you know.
Just going back to that day, you were 1-9 to 4 points up against Mallon at the O'Donnell Park. Having lost a couple of finals, was it a big focus that day to start the game well, to maybe settle any lingering nerves that might have been there?
Yeah, possibly. Possibly. Without a doubt, the emphasis we brought on was a performance, and I think we really got that. But yeah, right. I think the Paddy's goal early on settled us down. They got a big two-pointer earlier on, and then we replied to the way with a goal, and that definitely settled us. And then we got a couple of points in earlier on, and then we pushed on from there. But yeah, right. The good start that we did get certainly did help us, especially going down the track when they got a late goal. Only for that cushion was there, like God knows what would have happened, you know?
Yeah, and then to get the job done, I'm sure there was a wee bit of celebrating done in Glencolum Kill. A massive achievement for the village, and obviously huge to be back in senior football next year.
Yeah, that was great. Look, we never really put any kind of emphasis on the senior part. That kind of came later when we thought of it. Really, the whole thing was getting us over the line on a county final, as you rightly said earlier. Our record at this level in the last couple of years hasn't been good. So getting over the line, it was just pure relief. It really, really was relief from everybody. And it was great. There were great scenes when we come back to Glen, and we had a great couple of days. Everybody came out to help us celebrate. Even players that played in the last, you know, even 10, 12 years that was never there joined in as well, which is great. Really, community thing, and it's great for the whole parish of Glencoe and Kill.
So moving on, it's Ulster Intermediate quarter final action this Saturday. How has that shift been from, you know, we've achieved the ultimate goal here to, right boys, we go again, every man to training on Tuesday night? Has it been fairly seamless in that regard?
Yeah, I think it has. These boys know we finish one level, and now you're a level up, and now you have to try and do your best at that. Like, I keep telling the boys we're in it to be as competitive as we possibly can. We know we're up against it. We have a long trek over to Nisqually. It's probably 3 hours from where we're located, but we're going over, and we're definitely going over to compete. And if we give the performance that we've been doing consistently over our Donegal Championship, we've nothing to fear. And as I say, we're in new ground, and the boys are really, really looking forward to it. And listen, if they embrace this challenge the same way they embraced every challenge in the county, we'll not be far away.
Carrick Macross are the Monaghan Intermediate Champions. Do you have a good idea of what kind of side you'll be coming up against this time out?
I haven't a clue, Mark. That's no word of a lie. Just going into the unknown. I've seen clips of them right enough, and they seem to be a big physical team, but as regards to where they are, the only thing I've known is that this is going to be their third week in a row playing. You know, they played 2 weeks ago in their county final, and they played a league final last weekend, so they've been getting plenty of big game time when we haven't, so I hope that doesn't work against us.
And what about your squad, Brenton? How's this squad shaping up ahead of the game? Everyone fit and ready to go?
Yeah, well, we've Ryan Gillespie, he's returned to Australia. He came back to help us get over the line, and Jesus, it was a great lift for us to have us back, but he went back there the week after the final, so it'll be the same as the Donegal, minus Ryan, but when somebody moves away, somebody else has to step up, so as I keep saying, we are blessed with a good enough squad, so somebody else will come in and take up the mantle that Ryan is on.
That's it, and just finally, Brenton, having gotten that county title in the bag, is it a case of pressure off heading into the rest of whatever this campaign brings?
Depends what way you look at it. You know, I think every time you go out to play for your club, that brings a certain amount of pressure, no matter what it is. You try and go out and win every game, and it's going to be the same for these lads come Saturday. As I said earlier, they're in it to be as competitive as they possibly can. You know, well, getting to what you're saying about the monkey off the back of the championship, that's definitely gone now. The boys can go out and express themselves and enjoy the game, but really try and get over the line. We know the record in Donegal clubs and Ulster has been good, so we would like to try and represent the county the best we can.
Niamh Columba manager Brenton Doherty and Ryan Ferry, the sports editor of the Donegal News. He'll be keeping us updated on how things are going in Inishkeen from the 3 o'clock throw-in on Saturday afternoon. It's also a big weekend for the Burt Hurlers. They're playing in the Ulster Junior Club semi-final on Sunday. They play Con McGee's of Antrim in that last four clash at Celtic Park in Derry. And we'll have live updates with Chris Ashmore from the 1:30 start. Here in Donegal, the Under-21 Hurling Cup final will be contested tomorrow night at the Donegal GAA Centre in Convoy. St Eunice play Burt at 7:30, and there's also one game in the Under-21 Football Championship tomorrow evening as Burt play Carndonagh, and the Under-21 Championship action continues over both Saturday and Sunday. Well, it's time for a break here in the programme. When we come back, we'll be turning the focus towards the Donegal Forestry Rally, which takes place this weekend. Welcome back to The Score. The McCafferty's Bars Donegal Forest Rally will take place this Saturday, and it is based in Donegal Town, with the 5 special stages being over towards Pettigo and the border, and also near Ballyshannon. The event was originally planned to take place back in February, but it was postponed due to damage caused by the stormy weather back then. Fast forward to this weekend, and it is all systems go. Despite the fact that the outcome of some of the championships was decided some time ago, Jason Mitchell and Paddy McCrudden were crowned as the 2025 Sligo Pallets Forest Rally Championship winners, as they secured the title with a round to spare by winning multiple events, including the Tipperary and Mayo rallies. There are still around 130 crews entered, and there is a reserve list as well. Chris Ashmore has been speaking with Brian Brogan, the chairperson of the Donegal Motor Club, who is also the deputy clerk of the course for the event.
Brian, many thanks for joining us on Highland Radio to look forward to the McCafferty's Bars Donegal Forest Rally. And I suppose, first of all, in some respects, this marks the curtain coming down on the end of a long year. I know the historics in Killarney will still have a few people going down, but for many people in this part of the world, this is the end of a long year. And this event itself, strange how things have worked out, but it was, of course, meant to have been held last February, but stormy weather put paid to that.
That's right. The storm put a damper on it early in the year, Chris. But thankfully, we got it up and running again for this point now in the 8th of November, which is fantastic. And weather's looking okay for Saturday. I believe we'll have a good dry day overhead, and it should be interesting for spectators and competitors and all involved too for the short blast that we have on Saturday.
Yeah, now it was going to be the first round of a number of championships, including the Border Championship and, of course, the Sligo Paddocks Forestry Rally Championship. So, as we've gone through the season, many of the honours and championships have all been decided. Nevertheless, there is still big, big interest in this, and you've got a great field there, big, big entries.
There's a huge, huge entry for something that's happening on November, to be fair, in the Forest, which wouldn't have massive numbers all year, but I'd say once again, lucky for us in Donegal, again, we have a reserve list, which is fantastic, too, to be fair, considering, as you say, the curtain's coming down on another very successful year for all in motorsport. But it's great to see the numbers that have shown the interest and are coming along, and it's great for the amount of work that has went into it early in the year by Johnny Baird, the clerk of the course, who done a lot of work back at this time last year to get the thing up and running. Unfortunately, it didn't happen for him at that point. But now all the spade work is done, and it should work out now to be a very successful event again too, albeit on a short day now again for us and the darkness and that coming in. But it must be doing something for the competitor whenever they've up to close to 130 competitors looking to get into something where we can only run 100, Chris. So it's fantastic from a motor club point of view, to be honest.
Yeah, indeed. Now, McCafferty's Bar in Donegal Town will be very much the epicentre of the whole event. The stages themselves, 5 in total. 1 and 3 is Loch Fad, then we've been a hill 3 and 4, and then the Loch Avog at the end, a fifth stage on its own, a short stage. And as you mentioned there, because of the light, you have to be finished early. The stages near Ballyshannon and out near Pettigo, parts of the county that a lot of people probably are not overly familiar with, and by the looks of it, some very challenging stages.
1 and 2 are fantastic stages, lovely, good fast flow and stuff for competitors now, and real good condition. I was actually around them today there, so they're in real, real good condition for the weekend. The last one now, the fifth stage, it's much shorter, but again, if you're going down into competing with classes and results, a lot of championship stuff may be close at this point, but there's classes further on down in the field that'll be there to be decided, and there's a lot of people, including the juniors there, that are battling it out among themselves to set themselves up again for next year too. So it's fantastic that they're there to make the thing more competitive from the front of the field too, back to some of the bigger cars at the rear end, where they'll still be looking to make the pitch and get a result, and albeit round 8, the last round, they'll still be looking to get a good result too for Saturday evening, and as well as back into Donegal Town, and again from McCafferty's Bars, who have been fantastic help to Donegal Motor Club throughout the year and have been for years. So we're delighted that they're heading back to Donegal Town on Saturday evening to give the thank you back to Declan Boyle, Matthew Boyle and Michael Boyle for all the support and the help that they give us throughout the year, because without sponsors, these events just simply cannot happen either, Chris, to be honest.
Yeah, no, absolutely. The Parc Fermé out is 8 o'clock on Saturday morning. It's an early start. First car due on stage one, 17 minutes past 9 out at Loch Fad. And the first four stages, geographically, sort of east, southeast of Donegal Town, out towards the Tyrone border. From a spectator point of view, I see, looking at the ordnance map that has been supplied, there are a number of places which look to be particularly good.
They are. There's fairly good access to 1 and 2, albeit you'll have to walk a bit. For Forest, you don't have the loops and the links and the crossroads that you would have in the tarmac. But I suppose my advice would be for anybody that is a motorsport enthusiast and a rally fan, if they were to come in to Marshall for the events, would be a great help to the club and everybody involved too. It's probably the best viewing point that you would get if you're actually marshalling for the event for the Donegal Motor Club members to come out and support it. Would be a big help to make things happen over the period of the day as well, Chris.
Now, what about service? Where is that being located?
Service is up on Envirogrind. It's up on Eves' Yard in Envirogrind in Pettigo.
So having done service 8:34 and 11:20, the cars will be going in there, and having done the four stages, that last stage near Ballyshannon. Now, it's quite a short stage. There's some fast-looking stretches on it. Again, it looks to have some good areas for viewing, and let's hope that there's plenty at stake as they go into that final stage.
Yeah, well, anybody left it down to the last few seconds on that last stage, now it'll be all to play for. It'll be interesting, very tight, very technical and short, as you say, so you won't be taking 10 seconds out of anyone in there. So anyone that has left it down to the last two or 1 second, it'll be very, very interesting to watch, and a very good stage too, to be fair. Mm. Albeit they're all very good stages, to be honest. They're all fantastic stages now.
Now, if we look at the main field, Jason Mitchell and Paddy McCrutton in the Skoda Fabia RS, they're in at one. Eamon Kelly and Conor Mohan in another Skoda Fabia, they're in at two. Plenty of big names, including the local man, Kevin Eaves, there with Chris Smelly in the Fiesta at number five. It's a really good main field.
Oh, absolutely. The first, listen, anybody in that first top 8 to 10, there'll be none of them boys going easy at all. And if one gets the break in the morning, it's going to be very hard to catch either of them. And, you know, some of them has very, very good experience in forestry, and some of them have very good records. So it'll just be hard to call it, to be honest. It'll be very hard to call it.
And likewise, the two-wheel drives, many familiar local names there. Sam Stewart and Alan Johnson are in at 201, and the way the numbering is going to be, 202 Hugh McQuaid and Declan Casey, and Damien Torrish, 203 with Kevin Duggan as the co-driver there. A big field of the two-wheel drives.
Oh, absolutely. That two-wheel drive is some battle, and to be fair, Sam Stewart has a great record this year. He's had a fantastic year. He'll not be easy to beat. Again, Hugh McQuaid or Damien Torrish, they'll not be soft either, to be fair. So it'll be a great contest there with the two-wheel drive, and they're really fantastic to watch in the loose. For anybody spectating, the two-wheel drives are fantastic to watch now.
It's been a good year for junior competitors. The Junior Rally Series has produced plenty of great performances, and at a junior level here in this Donegal Forestry Rally, again, great to see so many involved. Kyle Drury and Carl Egan in the Volkswagen Up, they will be leading the way, numbered 301, and certainly it augurs well for the future when we see so many coming through.
Well, it's fantastic for the last few years. You know, that the underage, that juniors, the amount of people that have actually taken it up and supported it, I think it's really, really good for the county. And to be fair, Donegal would be leading the way more so than any other county in the country in relation to the numbers that we have and the competitiveness that we have. And a lot of, you know, the younger guys that are there, and it would be wrong for me to name anyone, because to be honest, you don't know who's going to be in the lead on Saturday after two stages, and then the competition starts. But they're great competitors. Them young boys and girls get on very, very well with one another. It's fantastic for the sport, and it's great for Donegal Motor Club to be fully host something like what we're able to do for them so many times in the year. And that's, I suppose, that's where you reap what you sow in every sport. And to be fair, we're in a very, very good place in relation to bringing the youth on at this point. And this event is definitely not going to be found wanting whenever it comes to Saturday either.
Yeah, and there'll be the prize giving afterwards. McCafferty's Bar in Donegal Town, no doubt, will be wedged for the rally on Saturday. And speaking of prize givings, in recent weeks we had the Sligo Pallets Border Rally Championship prize giving, and great to see so many Donegal Motor Club members receiving their awards recently.
Fantastic. We've done very well now. Donegal has done very well in a lot of later events in the year too there. I've seen a lot of events, like if you're looking at the top couple in every class, right down through the juniors there, Donegal is always very competitive, and it's fantastic. It's great for us to have it as a club and in the county. They're definitely punching above their weight in every category, and most classes you will see that the first two out of the first three will be from Donegal too, which is fantastic for us, to be fair. They're all definitely working very hard, very committed, doing everything that needs to be done and doing it properly, which is fantastic for the sport.
And there never seems to be a dull moment, because just a couple of weeks ago we had the Donegal Motor Club October Navigation Trial prize giving held after an event at Lurgybrack Open Farm. So it never stops, Brian. Yeah, there's always something on and something to look forward to.
Ah, it is. That's great. But it's a great club, to be fair. And a lot of real good hard workers there that are doing all that. And back to that navigation where you had Shane Lafferty and Kieran Coyle, who've done a fantastic job on that event. One of the best navigations, I'd say, ever had anywhere in the country. Any of the competitors would tell you that. You would have 25 starters with 24 finishers. I'd say it's probably a record in its own right for a navigation, because they're very tight and technical. And I suppose a big thank you to the two boys for doing that, and all the residents and everyone that were involved in it, the officials and supporters of it. It was a great event, a huge event. And but again, we're not far away now from our own prize giving. Again, we'll be on now early January. That's the Donegal Commercial Vehicles Championship, where it'll be decided, a lot of classes will be decided on Saturday too, as to where that's going to end. And it'll be back into next year before you know it, Chris. That's what happens again.
Indeed it will.
You're under 26, you're back into that. We're looking for a COC for that navigation rally now in March, so that's how it rolls.
Yep. Now, your deputy COC for Saturday, Johnny Baird, is clerk of the course, and I know the appeal has been out for volunteers and marshals, because this event takes a lot of organising, the whole setting up of things in the days in advance, marshals particularly on the day on Saturday, and then also important to point out on the Sunday to make sure that there's personnel, and no doubt there will be plenty of volunteering to ensure that the Quiltra Forest complexes that are featured during the rally, that they're left litter-free. So just to make that point.
Oh, absolutely. I would appeal to anyone that is going, even spectating in March, and that just if it is the case that there's any litter there, whatever you take with you, just to return it, take it back, and leave everything that the way you got it and the way you'd like to see it yourself. So to be fair, the Quiltra are very, very good supporters of forestry rallying in Ireland, and we're very, very appreciative of them and everything that they do for us. So we do want to be back into the forests again in the future. So we like to leave it the way you got it, which is important too. So we will have a clean-up day on Sunday for anybody that's about that's available for to leave to just to tidy up everything that's there for the setup and the stage and stuff. So we're appealing for our own club members as well to come out and work on Friday for setup. And make that happen too. So I think it's all fairly well under control at this point, but as I say, the more hand you have, the less work is in it, Chris, too, to be honest, you know. So.
And the finishing ramp at McCafferty's Bar in Donegal Town, we expect the winners to be there, around 3 o'clock on Saturday?
Yeah, I'd say it was closer to the half, say, around that. It's in the back car park there, and where the bar actually goes out to the car park. And Donegal Town, so it'll be an interesting place for a lot of people, even spectators that can't get out to the stages. It'll be a great spot for them to be back in again on Saturday afternoon for the prize given to and the ramp, and there'll be all the festivities and stuff. No doubt the celebrations will be high for a few hours around Donegal Town, and I'm told there's not a bed to be got on it, so that's good for everybody and good for all the people that support the event, and good for tourism and all that goes along with it too for the month of November, Chris.
That is Deputy Clerk of the Course for the Donegal Forest Rally, Brian Brogan, speaking with Chris Ashmore. And Chris will be at that event and providing live updates here on Highland Radio Saturday Sport. Let's take a look at what's happening in local soccer this weekend. The action continues in the Brian McCormick Sports Premier Division of the Donegal Junior League, with three games taking place on Sunday. Second place Donegal Town, they can close the gap on league leaders Bonnygee to just a point as they travel to play KG Rovers. It is third v fourth as Letterkenny Rovers are away to Kildrum Tigers, and Fannin United welcome St Catharines to Tralee. There is one game on Saturday night when Kilmacren and Celtic play bottom side Glenay United. That one is at the Letterkenny Community Centre at 7:45. In the Temple Domestic Appliances Division 1, there are five games on Sunday. Top of the table, Castlefin Celtic are away to Gidor Celtic. Second place, Capri Rovers host Gidor United. Carrickhill 71 play Convoy Arsenal. Swally Rovers take on bottom side Ballybuffet United. And Rathmullen host near neighbours Milford United in the Moss Road Derby at the Flagpole Field. Four games in the Donegal Physiotherapy Division 2. Raphoe Town look to continue their good start with a trip to Cranford. Deal Harps play Dunkaneely Celtic. White Strand are at home to Letterbarrow Celtic. And Dunfanaghy Utes, who got their first win last week, they host Curragh Athletic. There is also a full round of games in the Saturday divisions of the Donegal League this weekend. In Inishowen, leaders Coghill Celtic have a free week, so it will give the chasing pack a chance to reel them in somewhat. Second place, Clonmany Shamrocks are away to Kildaff. Champions Muncrana go to QPS. It is Aile v Cairn, and bottom side Redcastle welcome Illies. They are all, of course, in the Jackie Crossan Premier Division. There are also games in both Divisions 2 and 3 of the Inishowen League on Sunday. Institute have a Friday fixture this week in the Northern Irish Football League Championship. They're away to Warren Point tomorrow night, while second place Limavady are at home to Newington on Saturday. Finally in soccer, after Gavin McAteer made his FIFA Under-17 World Cup debut for Ireland against Panama during the week, they're back out for their second game on Saturday. Ireland, who beat Panama 4-1 on Wednesday, they're up against Uzbekistan in Doha. That game gets underway at 3:45 on Saturday, with Finn Harps youngsters Gavin McAteer, Josh Cullen and Corey Sheridan all part of that squad. McAteer, of course, came off the bench in Wednesday's win, so a very proud moment for all involved at Finn Harps and indeed his home club Milford United. And let's hope Josh and Corey can see some game time throughout the tournament. Such a brilliant experience that is for the three young lads representing their country at the FIFA Under-17 World Cup in Qatar. Now, next on the programme, we're going to take a look back at the massive achievements of local jockey Dylan Brown McMonagall last weekend. After riding Willie Mullins 25-1 shot Ethical Diamond to a brilliant win in the Breeders' Cup turf at Del Mar in California on Saturday night, Dylan then hightailed it and hopped on a flight back to Ireland and was at the Curragh on Sunday to be crowned Irish champion jockey. It's been a sensational season's racing for the Letterkenny jockey, who is the reigning Donegal Sports Star of the Year. Dave Keeney was at the Curragh on Sunday and spoke to Dylan's father John about his son's achievements. But firstly, here's the man himself, Dylan Brown McMonagall, in conversation with Dave Keeney.
It's very good. We've been working towards it all year, and thankfully to get over the line is great. And to get back here today to collect the trophy was very good after a special night last night, so it's unbelievable.
And the friends and family that came down from Donegal, they make these days extra special. And it's important that that your friends and family, your mum and dad, they're here and they can really appreciate it.
Yeah, exactly. That's what it's all about. There's people from all over the country out there to support that's been there from the start, so it's a big achievement for them as well as me, and you know, it's good to see all the faces there and they're all smiling, so that's what's important.
And a couple of weeks ago you mentioned that a riffle was a standout moment, but that may well have been usurped by last night's events in Del Mar. All rather surreal. Even Willie alluded to the fact that it was totally unexpected, and I suppose they're the sweetest winners.
Yeah, 100%. It wasn't expected. Anything after a place or something would have been a bonus. We weren't really expecting it, but he turns up every time, and he's so hard to beat. Doesn't matter what it is, flats, jumps, anywhere around the world, he's different class. So I'm very lucky to be able to get my leg over a horse like him, and thanks to the connections and everyone as well. But it was a very special day.
And when you walk out today into the parade ring and see the names on the jockey's title, it's not lost on you who the previous winners were. Colin, Mick Kinnan, Johnny Murtha, Christy Roach, just the biggest names in flat racing. And to win the championship, I think, is the pinnacle.
Yeah, 100%. That is. It's the main one. To get your name in the trophy is very important. It's a huge achievement, and I'm lucky to be down beside some of those names, but hopefully we can add a few more.
We've got to the stage that we don't even realise how proud we are of them. You know, it's crazy. It's crazy.
And has there been a standout moment over the last couple of years?
Every day rides a horse is a standout moment for us. You always hope for high expectations. And I don't think I could ask for anything better. Everything I ask for in life, you're saying a prayer, you ask the man above. I always ask, look, be nice, this is what happened, be nice. Everything has happened. I don't think I would ask for any more.
And where does it come from? We know that the pony circuit was important, but he must just love horses, and like, he's a natural rider.
My family wouldn't be on the horses now, but Kiernan's family, Adrian and Hugh, their family always would have been on the horses. Probably when I started going out with Kiernan, it was all horses, but I kind of got the bug too, and listen, he just... Everything came natural for him since he was a baby. He was rocking horses. It's a roller coaster ride for us.
But it must be so enjoyable to go away and watch your son perform at such a high level in such a competitive sport. every weekend. It must be a pleasure to drive down from Donegal to wherever he rides at the weekend.
Doesn't matter where he's riding. We, Carlin would normally say, we're going and that's it. We don't mind the miles. We just love seeing him every weekend, more or less getting to see him as well as riding. You know, it's just nice to see him.
Because it's relentless. You wouldn't see that much of him, I presume, unless you went racing.
No, we don't see a lot of Dylan. Christmas time now, he's finished up for the year. He spent a bit of time at home and meet my parents and all our friends and family and Carlin's friends and family. It's just going to be nice to see him home now for a month.
And there's about 50 people down from home. We know that Letterkenny is the main area, but what parts of Donegal are the rest of the crew and the family from?
Dylan's a lot of Falliers. You know, even people from Fallian from a long time ago. Even today, to see people here from Dingle, from Donegal, from everywhere, you know, it just makes things so special.
That is John McMonagall speaking to Dave Keena. John is, of course, the father of Dylan Brown McMonagall, who we heard at the beginning of that piece. Fantastic achievements from the Letterkenny youngster, and more to come in 2026, no doubt. Well, to go into a bit more detail on Dylan's success, I'm happy to say we're joined now by Dave Keena, our horse racing correspondent. Dave, thank you very much for joining us on The Score here this evening.
You're very welcome.
So we just heard from Dylan and his father John there, obviously a very proud father. It was some weekend, Dave. Dylan knew he was going to win the champion jockey title, but then to put the icing on top with the win at the Breeders' Cup was just phenomenal.
It was, and I suppose the great thing about the Breeders' Cup victory was that it was, to a large degree, unexpected. He could go and ride the horse like a 50-1 shot, and he was... You know, if he picked up the pieces, it was great. But then as he turned into the home straight, it was pretty obvious from the way the horse was travelling that he was going to pick up more pieces than maybe Connections had imagined. And they are the best horses to ride. I've been a jockey's agent myself for 22 years. And quite often you can put your jockey on certain horses and hope they win and they underperform or they disappoint. And then the ones that you least expect to perform, they're the ones that you actually enjoy winning most because it's that unexpected nature of it. But look, it was a great weekend for him. It was a great year for Dylan because literally from the get-go, Joseph principally had his back from the word go. He made him his number one, and to be number one rider with Joseph O'Brien instead of Joseph splitting up the rides between the few riders as he has done up to this year, Dylan rode all the horses. So once you have that kind of a backing, I mean, you've, you know, 100 plus horses that you have first call on, that gives you a huge stepping stone in terms of trying to be champion jockey because it's every day, it's relentless, and unlike in the UK, Ireland is very unique. There's very few second meetings, so you can't pick and choose which meeting you ride. So every day, every race, you're riding against the best. And that's what makes winning big races in Ireland, whether they be Group 1s on the flat or over jumps or big races, you're competing against the best every single day. So the it can't be over... egged in any shape or form what a big deal it is to be champion jockey in Ireland. Colin Keane has been champion jockey for the last 5 years. Pat Smullen, God be good to him, was the previous champion. And then Mick Kinnan and Johnny Murtha were multiple champions. So Joseph was champion jockey as well. So he's joining, you know, some great names, and he's only 22 years of age. But he could go safe in the knowledge that he had the championship in the bag before he went to ride in the Breeders' Cup and then to go and win the way he did. And, you know, it's important to note as well that he had two or three rides over there, so he got a good feel of the track, knew the way the races were run, and all of these things played into his hands too. But, you know, hats off. Like, what he did on Saturday was fantastic. But just over the course of the season... like he's got a real... Colin Keane mightn't have been here all of the time, but I'd say he got a real, real kick out of the championship, and I'd say it's the first of many he's going to win.
Certainly, and that partnership with JP O'Brien and Aidan O'Brien in the background there as well is important cogs in the wheel. Looking ahead, what does the future hold for Dylan? How far do you think this young man can go in the world of horse racing?
Well, look, the world is his oyster. I always maintain that Ireland is the hardest jurisdiction to make an impact. Like, we've seen countless jockeys not make it in Ireland, go to England and succeed. So it's a very difficult place to do it. But the one thing that you need, it's a bit like playing any sport. Once you have the backing and once you have a supply line, you have a chance. Because he is in the job that he has, he's got a real chance. And as you say, you know, he's connected to Aidan's yard too. Now, he didn't ride any Group 1 winners for Aidan, nearly did, but he didn't. And I suppose that's his next aim, possibly. But, like, he's going away to Hong Kong early in the new year. He'll probably ride away in Dundalk for the winter. He was in Australia last year. He's picking up really valuable experience in terms of the different jurisdictions as to where you need to finesse and hone your skills. And, like, the one thing is he's incredibly fit. He's young. He's a huge amount in his favour. I'm not going to say that he's going to win the championship for the next 5 years, because you need everything to go right. You need to be injury-free. You need to be suspension-free, and he was this year. So all things going according to plan. He's got a very good manner with people. He's extremely good in terms of his media duties after racing. He's a very polite young man. So he's a huge amount going for him, and he's well-liked as well. And trainers want him, and trainers want to use him. So it's impossible to say how high he'll go, but I think for the moment he should treasure what he has. What he has done over the last 3 to 4 years since he started riding has just been quite incredible. It's been great to watch. It's been a great battle with Colin Keane this year. Colin's not going to go away anywhere soon. There's a lot of good riders coming through, but it just, as I mentioned earlier, you do need the backing and the support of a big yard. And when you're racing every day and it's a numbers game in Ireland, once you have numbers and once you have a supply line of good horses, that puts you in pole position to be champion jockey again next year.
Brilliant year for Dylan. And I think it's fair to say horse racing in Donegal in general is on an upward curve. Dave, there's an awful lot of young talent coming through the ranks.
There is. Paddy McGettigan is a very good young rider. He's coming through. Oisin Orr is doing particularly well in the UK. Luke McAteer is having a very good year. And it goes right back to Martin Harley, who was, I think he could have been champion apprentice in Ireland too. He made big inroads. He rode a classic win in Ireland. He went over to Australia. He's done well as well. So it's quite bizarre that there's so few trainers in Donegal. I think Dylan's relations, I think they're the only trainers in Donegal that I can recall. So it's very, very unusual to have that amount of jockeys coming through. And it obviously goes down to the pony circuit and pony racing, because it's so strong in that part of the world. Like, the nearest race course is Sligo. So it's quite bizarre what's going on. But it's great to see that you have that outlier whereby Dylan might start to inspire younger kids to come through and fulfill their dreams. And, you know, the clip of him when he was a 12-year-old has gone viral, of him wanting to be champion jockey. And to go and do it within such a short period of time, like, when we were all 12, we all had dreams, but most of the dreams, they fell on deaf ears within a few months. So it's quite extraordinary what he has achieved over the last 4 years, essentially, which is when he really came on the radar of most of us. But as you pointed out, there's a lot of young riders coming through, and the more that come through, the better, because the game needs them. The game needs to nourish that talent. Paddy McGettigan is doing very well in Johnny Murthy's. Luke McAteer has got a good job at David McMahon. Oisin Orr is doing well over in Richard Fahey. So it's great to see, and long may it continue.
Yeah, and as they say, a rising tide raises all ships, so it can only be good for the sport, especially Dylan's success there. We're very proud of our jockeys here in the county and wish them continued success. Dave, thanks very much for joining us on The Score this evening.
You're more than welcome. Anytime.
Our horse racing correspondent, Dave Keena. Finally, tonight on The Score, we're going to have a look ahead to the rugby this weekend. Ireland will be looking to bounce back from last Saturday's defeat to New Zealand as they play Japan at the Aviva. Alex McDonald will be there for Highland Radio Sport, so we will be going to Alex for updates. Kickoff in Dublin is at the rather strange time of 12:40. In local rugby, OMA play CIYMS in Ulster Championship 1 on Saturday. In Championship 2, Letterkenny face a tough test against top-of-the-table Carrickfergus. They've won 6 from 6. City of Derry go to Larne, and it is Ards up against second place Limavady. In Ulster 3, Strabane will look to maintain their perfect start with an away day at Donaghadee. Coleraine play Newry, and in the Provincial North League, Inishowen are at home to Coleraine. Well, that is just about it for this episode of The Score. My name is Mark Gallagher, and if you missed any of tonight's show, it will, as always, be available to listen back to very shortly over on our website at highlandradio.com. Your next sports update will be with Chris Ashmore, who will be at the sports desk during the 8 o'clock news tomorrow morning. Have a great evening, and I'll be talking to you all again very soon.